In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Christu numuriuku. Today is Thomas Sunday, and I'm not going to mention Thomas very much, but the sermon is going to be all about him. If you listen carefully, the sermon is all about him. And it's all about you, and it's all about me. The same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. In other words, he went through shut doors. Now, doors have a symbolic meaning also. They're things by which you can open and enter a room if you're a mortal. But they're also a symbol of the opening to our heart. And the Lord went through the doors. He didn't need to open them. We have doors on our hearts. Sometimes they're pretty shut. And we want to open them. But we don't quite know how. Maybe we crack them a little bit. Sometimes they go maybe pretty wide. But for the most part, they're shut. Now, you might not think your doors are shut. You might think, I'm a Christian, I believe. But God is very big, very small. And he wants to fit all of himself in us, which means our doors have to be wide open. On the evening of Pascha, during the midnight office and just before we begin, I'm always in a very altered state, like no other time of the year. I might look nervous. I'm pacing around, checking my watch. But it's not really that. Because of the resurrection, we can become all light, all holy, all pure, all peace. And we celebrate that resurrection, especially on the day of Pascha. And it's very big. But we're very small, and we only see a little bit of it. And before I bring out the Paschal light, I'm thinking, why can't we see more of that light? Why can't our doors be wide open? It's the way God made us, for us to be completely open, but we're not. And so before I bring out that light, I'm just all aflutter with these feelings that God is visiting us and we're missing him. We see him only a little bit, and I have nothing in my power to open myself up to him. I can do it a little bit, develop some disciplines of prayer, fasting, reading the scriptures, and my doors open a little bit. But I don't have the power to fling them open when I read this. I know that doesn't matter to God. He can go in through closed doors. It's very comforting to me, personally. But also as a pastor, it's very comforting because I see lots of different folk. Some people are striving with all their heart to know God. And when I talk to them about things like this, I see they completely get it. Other people don't know that their doors are shut. They're not aware they have that problem, but I can pray my poor prayers, and God can go in their doors without opening them. It's a great comfort. I also want to talk to you about peace. It's all wrapped together because we were born to be at peace, because God is at peace. We were made in his image and after his likeness, which means we should be like him. And how we think, how we feel, who we are. And God is completely at peace. There's no conflicts in him. That's why we call God simple. We're not simple, we're complex. Because we have lots of conflicts. Sometimes we want to do good, but we find ourselves doing bad. Sometimes we do bad and we don't really want to do good that well at all. Sometimes we're not even aware of the things we're doing that are wrong. we're complex. God is simple. God is peace. And so, when the Lord went through those doors into a room full of frightened men, because the doors were closed, because they were afraid the Jews were going to find them and kill them, and of course they would be killed by crucifixion, which would be very painful. So they were afraid. So the Lord goes through the doors. Now, perhaps a logical thing for him to say is like he did when he was on the waves of the water during the storm. It is I, be not afraid. But he didn't say that. Perhaps he could have said, I told you that I would be back and I am keeping my promise. He didn't say that either. He said, peace be with you. Because the purpose of our life, the purpose of his incarnation is to have peace, to be simple, to be holy in God, to have only purity and love and holiness in our hearts. Nothing else. None of the other noise that's in the world and that's in us. So he said, peace be with you. That's the real story of Pascha, is that because of Pascha, we can have peace. Whether or not we can open our doors all the way, we can have peace. If we strive for it, God will take our small, little, tiny bit of effort, and he will make it whole. And he will supply all of the ability that we need to obtain peace. The second thing that the Lord said to the disciples also involved peace. First, he said, just peace be unto you. Then he showed them his hands and his side because, of course, they were frightened. Who is this? They probably, because of fear, they barely recognized him. But then he was apparent to them by showing his hands and his side. And then he said again about peace. But he said it differently this time. It's very important to understand this difference. And as an aside, I want to tell you, I'm always trying to teach you how to read the scriptures. Because that's very important. I don't care about scholarship. It has its place, but not when you're trying to heal the soul. You must understand a lot of things in scripture. You must understand context. Context is very important. When things are said closely together, it's important to notice. And of course, the primary thing about reading scripture that I've told you 200 times is that you must read scripture completely assured and seeking the message that is for you. Because scripture is in order to teach you, in order to help you, in order to change you. Now, it doesn't teach you like reading a chemistry book. It's not facts that you're learning. It's things that are touching and changing your soul. So, let's read these two things about peace in context. First, the Lord says the most important thing that he can give them, peace. And then, he says, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. A bunch of scared men, terrified that they were going to be killed. And now he is giving them the commission to be his apostles and to have their sound go forth into all the world. And so peace is now connected with action, with activity, with effort. We must pursue peace. Peace is not a static thing. People think of peace as resting, putting their feet up under an umbrella and having a beer on the beach. That's peace to the world. Peace is when God fills the heart. And externally, it doesn't matter at all. What's happening to you if you have peace in your heart? Peace must be fought for. The scriptures talk about the kingdom of heaven is being won by violence. Do you know what that violence is? Do you really understand what that violence is? The world thinks of violence as you hit me, I hit you back twice as hard. In Christianity, that violence is where we never give up struggling to follow the commandments. And where we have anger against our sin that motivates us to try to change. That's the violence. So you can be a violent man and a peaceful one if you're a Christian. It's very important to see the connection here. The Lord said, peace be to you. And then he said, that means you've got to work. I've told you before, the greatest heresy in Christianity today is that you can have salvation without labor, without morality, without dogma, without effort. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You can only have salvation by struggling for peace with violence. By feeling in your heart that deep need for the light of God within you, to be completely within you. Not just a little candle, but completely illuminating you without any shadow. I want to tell you a little bit more about the doors. The doors of the altar are wide open from the beginning of the Paschal Matins all the way until bright Saturday. And our bishop has taught us this beautiful rule that when we begin to sing the first Stikeren of Lord, I've Cried at the Vespers, where it says the doors being shut, we shut the doors. Until then, they're wide open. That whole week, they're never closed. And I sensed really quickly yesterday, there were not a whole lot of you around. Last night, Father Nicholas had to sing. So I sensed very quickly, because I wanted to be back in time, so that when that Stikeren was read, I shut the doors. And so I did. And they made a loud noise in my heart. A thud. It's a sad sound. Do you know why the doors are open for all of Pascha, the Pascha week? Because God's grace is shed abundantly upon us, completely available to us. There should be nothing hindering us, so the doors are open. But then they're closed. They're not closed because God has shut himself off from us. They're closed because we close them. Because we don't maintain holiness and purity. We have it for small moments. Because we can't take in all of God. We're too small. So the doors are closed. It's a terrible tragedy. I thought about it all night, last night after I closed those doors. It was on my mind dozens of times, because it's very sad that we can't have all of God within us because of our sins. But then we read this gospel today. Someone whose doors were very closed because he wouldn't believe in the resurrection. In fact, they were so closed that he demanded proof, physical, tangible evidence that the Lord was resurrected, or else he wasn't going to believe. But Thomas did something right. And this is what you must learn from Thomas. Even though he didn't believe, he didn't leave. He kept struggling. He stayed with the apostles. And then on the eighth day, the Lord illuminated him, showed him his hands and his side. And he truly believed. So even though Thomas's doors were shut, it didn't matter. Because God came through those doors. Now the only time when our doors being shut keeps us from God is when we run away from God, when we go away from belief, when we don't stick around. Then the doors stay shut. In fact, then they rust shut. The scripture calls that the hardening of the heart. Even if our doors are shut, your heart should still be soft. You should still feel this deep longing in you to have the light of God fully within you. Now, if you don't have that longing, I'll be honest with you, you should be worried. You should cultivate that longing. If you're so distracted by the ways of the world that you don't have that longing, then you're in an emergency state. Because no matter what a person's sins are or they or aren't, what really matters is, do they long to have God within them? Do they feel this deep sadness about the things in them that are not alive, and that they want to be alive? That determines whether a person is truly a Christian or not, not their external behavior. Because unbelievers can behave in exemplary ways. But if you don't have any fire in your belly for God, I don't know what you're really going through your exercises for. Because we were born for God to be completely within us, for us to be like Him, for us to have peace. And here we see in the story of Thomas, his believing disbelief, as the church calls it, the way that we can have this peace. One thing is to know that God is bigger than anything we have, is stronger than anything we do. And even though we are weak, foolish people, even though we're stubborn, even though we are ignorant of grace, God is not. God knows all things. And God can go through our doors, even though we can never completely open them on our own. That's a very good thing to know. And this story also shows us that when we have our disbelief or our troubles of life, that as long as we stick around, God will visit us. It happened to Thomas. It happened to Peter, who had denied the Lord 3 times, and all the apostles who had run away. It happens to us too. It's not so. I'm not impressed. I'm not frightened when I see people sin. As a pastor, I'm afraid when I don't see them hating their sin and desiring to stop it with all their heart. If you want to stop, God will eventually help you stop. If you want to have Him completely within you, He will come. That's the reassurance of this story. But you got to stick around. And you got to have great desire. I'll tell you one more thing about the doors, since they were on my mind and have been on my mind. Actually, all week they were on my mind, because I kind of dreaded the moment and also looked forward to the moment when I was going to close the doors. I dreaded it because it's not the way things are supposed to be. But I looked forward to it because it was a way of just being completely honest with God and saying, I don't know how to have thee within me. I don't know how to do it. I'm not strong enough to do it. I'm really kind of a mundane and a secular person. And that's what I was saying in my heart to the Lord when I closed those doors. So the doors were closed at the Lord I have cried. And then, of course, they were opened at various times when we had to go in and out the altar. But then at the end of the service, all the doors are closed. The curtain is still open, but the doors are closed. And I'm standing before the iconostasis, and I'm looking at all closed doors. And I'm thinking, well, this is the way life usually is, isn't it? Just going on with life, pretty much ignorant about holiness. Just doing stupid human tricks all the time. We had Pascha. We had Bright Week. I served the liturgy every day. Thank God for that. But now the doors are closed. Now what am I to do? I guess I need to beg the Lord to come through my doors. So do you. I need to long for that moment when the doors are never closed again. And so do you. I need to be dissatisfied with the stuff in me that's dead. So do you. I need to try to live every moment of my life aware of my purpose. So do you. I need to strain against these giant doors with all of my strength, even though it would take 10,000 upon 10,000 more men like me to be able to even budge them a little bit. But I still have to struggle against them. So do you. But thank God that our salvation is not dependent on our strength or our ability or our holiness. It's dependent on us desiring God to go through our doors. And with that desire, of course, comes action, even if it's feeble and weak. If you have that action, if you have that desire, God will come through your doors. To me, that is the message of Pascha, much more so than, you know, talking about the descent into hell and Christ is risen and all those sorts of things. Because I say Christ is risen, but still there's parts of me that aren't risen yet. There's parts of you that aren't risen yet. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So, let's beg God to help us to open our doors up and eventually to just tear them off the hinges just like he tore off the doors of hell so that we're completely open and completely at peace. Then we will have realized what Pascha is meant to bring to us. Christ is risen.
Truly risen.